Again, we have the privilege of looking together into the Word of God. Now, we have been working through for a long time through the book of Jeremiah, and my, how much we have learned as we have been going through Jeremiah. It's a book that historically, I've never heard a sermon preached from it. It's a difficult book, but as we have labored over verse after verse after verse, there's all kinds of truth that has poured out. Now, right now, we're in Jeremiah 41, and we are now witnessing, and for the next few studies, we will see this, how sin develops, In other words, we start a path down a path that we think we know, and then as we go along, we'll find that we can go deeper and deeper into a path that is contrary to the will of God and get us ourselves in greater and greater trouble. And that's exactly what we're reading about here. And you know, every now and then, as I live out my own personal life, I suddenly wake up to the fact, wait a minute, come on, you're trying to figure this out yourself. You're trying to figure to make the plans out of your own mind. You think you know so much. Forget it. And then to crawl on your knees, so to speak, to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, forgive me. I got on the wrong path again. I have to admit I don't know anything. I don't have any wisdom. Oh Lord, you have to provide the wisdom. You have to guide." And this is a healthy experience that we should all be going through again and again and again. Now, we have found here that just because someone is a friend of the Bible or a friend of those who are reasonably well teaching the Bible, that does not mean that they are altogether trustworthy. We had the example of Gedaliah, who was a friend of Jeremiah, and who we earlier learned that his family were concerned about Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, of course, is remaining in Jerusalem. He's remaining with the Jews that we're reading about right now, because that is his mission. God has ordained that he is to be there right from the 40 years earlier when he was given his ordination. And so he is really the mouthpiece for God. But what we were delighted to see is that Gedaliah and Jeremiah were friends. And Gedaliah was a prince, and he was highly regarded, and therefore a lot of people followed his example, listened to him. And he got Israel, or the remaining people in Judah, in deep trouble because he saw an opportunity to legitimately, in his mind, remain in Jerusalem. After all, King Nebuchadnezzar, giving command to the captain of the guard, allowed some of the poor people and the disadvantaged people to remain in Jerusalem to harvest the crops after Babylon ruled that city altogether. They were in charge of that city, and they had made Gedaliah the governor. And so it all looked like, well, maybe that's God's plan, you know, that's what he's doing. And then we learned, of course, that Gedaliah was murdered, ruthlessly murdered, along with a lot of other people, and thrown into the pit in Mizpah. And we took a little detour and saw that that also had a history of people who went their own way. And when we spent some time talking about Asa, who had built that pit, and we found that he too got himself in trouble when he turned away from rigorously following the law of God. I can't stress that enough for myself and for everybody else. The moment we turn away from the law of God, I don't care how reasonable the path looks or how delightful or whatever, we're going to get into trouble. We absolutely are going to get into trouble. Well, now we come to verse 10, and we read in Jeremiah 41, then Ishmael, now what has happened is that Ishmael, who was also a prince, he was from the nation of Ammon, but they were cousins to the Israelites. They lived right across the Jordan River. And now he is aspiring to be the king, the governor. That's why he killed Gedaliah and a lot of Gedaliah's followers. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, that's the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. He now is the governor. He has killed Gedaliah, and Ishmael is going to be the ruler. But he now wants to get out of the land and take all the residue, the people that remain, and take them with him into the land of the Ammonites, which was across the Jordan River. You see, the thing that the setting of all this is, there was enormous fear of the Babylonians. They were a ruthless nation. They had ruthlessly killed an enormous number of people in Judea. You know, actually, there were, from everything we can read in the Bible, there were only about 50,000 people that finally got out of Jerusalem and became captives in Babylon, and then were finally able to return again. And that was about 50,000 out of a nation of 1.5 million or 2 million people. We can only speculate how big they were, but it was something like that. So because there was an enormous amount of destruction that had been going on. But in addition, there were this residue of the poor and the disadvantaged people who, and as well, you notice it talked about the, in verse 10, it talked about the king's daughters. And now why would God mention that, the king's daughters? Well, who are the king's daughters? Who is the king spiritually? Christ. Christ. And we can claim to be a daughter of the king when we claim to be a child of God. And there are all kinds. Remember that the big lesson here is not that we're learning about Gedaliah or Ishmael or Jerusalem. We're learning about what's going on today in the churches. And here we find in the churches that while God has given the command, come out, Babylon, get out, yet there are those who insist, no, we can stay here. We believe we have God's blessing, and all they are doing is setting up themselves for the most horrible punishment. They are going their own way. And so here we see how it worked out in these people's lives. And so he carried them to go to the Ammonites. And now Johanan comes into the picture. In verse 11, but when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done. Remember, Mizpah was several miles to the north of Jerusalem, and that's where the murdering had gone on as Ishmael killed Gedaliah. And yet now the people who were left in Jerusalem, including Johanan, the son of Kareah, now they they heard finally of the slaughter. They heard of the terrible, terrible thing that Ishmael had done in murdering Gedaliah. And so Johanan and all the captains of the forces that were with him, when they heard, then verse 12, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that were in Gibeon. Now Gibeon was a little bit further north than Mizpah of Jerusalem. It was not in the direct direction of the nation of Ammon, where Ishmael was trying to take these people. And so we don't know what was happening in the detail of what was going on. But Ishmael only got as far as Gibeon. Now, why it calls the great waters of Gibeon, I don't know. There has to be a meaning to that, but I don't know what the meaning is. It has to be a spiritual meaning, because when we search the Bible, we don't find any great waters of Gibeon. Gibeon was just a city, so it has to have some kind of a spiritual meaning. And we can talk about that later. Now, in verse 13, and now he's going, here comes Johanan. Oh boy, he's going to rescue. He again was a friend of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is still with these people. And they're coming, and it came to pass, they went in verse 12, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. In other words, Johanan this is very important to recognize this. He was a person that was well trusted by these people. He had a very fine reputation. He was a prince. And when they saw him come with all the other soldiers that were still left, the captains that were left, they recognized that he had come to save them from the hands of this ruthless murderer, Ishmael. And so they left Ishmael. And Ishmael was left with about eight of his men. And Ishmael, the son, verse 15, of son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with eight men and went to the Ammonites. All right, that's all we hear about Ishmael. He's out of the picture now. He has lost his opportunity or his bid to be a governor or to take people or rule over people has disappeared. He is gone. Now we find that Johanan is the leader. First it was Gedaliah, then it was Ishmael. Now it's Johanan. And Johanan comes with about the very similar recommendations that Gedaliah came with. He was well trusted, and he seemed to be a very good friend of Jeremiah, and so on. We read then, verse 16, then took Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs, whom he had brought again from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Shimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. Now we find the next part of the drama is going to unfold. When they left Gibeon, which was north of Jerusalem, about 10 miles maybe. Then they, this man, Johanan, now is their leader. He is now, he has not been appointed by the Babylonians as their leader, but he is the one who has rescued all the people. And so they follow him, and he takes them to a little place right near Bethlehem. Now, Gibeon was north of Jerusalem. Gibeon is north of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is directly south of Jerusalem, about 7 miles or so. And it's on the road that would lead into Egypt. Here we find Johanan is betraying his plan. He believes, and it's because of his fright of the Babylonians. They probably are plenty angry that Gedaliah had been killed and all these ugly things had been going on. And so now Johanan is frightened that if they're not going to be careful and watch out for themselves, the next thing, the Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and destroy them. And so he had a plan. Man working. He knows. He's the wise guy. We're going to go into Egypt. That's south of us. And they're not at war right now. And we have friends there. And we're going to go into Egypt. And so he quickly takes these people from Gibeon down into this little place near Bethlehem on the way to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, for they were afraid of them because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. In other words, it looks like these dumb Jews can't take care of their own affairs. They appointed a governor, and he is killed, and there's all kinds of ugly things going on, and maybe Babylon might finish the slaughter and kill off the rest of them. So they had a very definite fear, a very legitimate fear in many ways, that something might happen to them. Well, then we go on in chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near. Now they've made up their mind what they want to do. They want to go to Egypt. Jeremiah's been with them all the time. He's been with them all the time. Not once did they ask for his help or for his instruction or to go to the Lord. But now they're going to try to get God's approval on their plan to go into Egypt. Have you ever done that? Have you ever worked out a plan of action in your life? And then after you've worked it out, then you go to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, please help me. Is this a good plan? Would you please bless this plan?" We don't ask him to give us wisdom to discover the plan. We ask him to give us approval on the plan. And this is exactly what people in churches are doing today. They want, and we're going to find out, we're going to spend quite a long time with talking about Egypt. Remember in Revelation chapter 11, when the two witnesses are killed, where are their bodies lying? In the streets of the city where the Lord was crucified, which was called Sodom and Egypt. Egypt is a direct tie-in to what is happening in the churches. And there's a lot of scriptures that develop that, which we will work on in time. We again have come to the end of our time when we can continue in this study. In our next study, we'll go on in this chapter and learn further what God has to declare to us in this very significant part of the Bible.